So it was my understanding that hell would have more ambiance. I thought hell would be like demons jumping out at you, darkness enclosing you, the abyss smiling at you, beckoning you to come forward and bear your sins before the world. I thought there would be some kind of creature laughing in the background as it read off your sins, poking your soul, just to make sure you felt the pain with every one of them. I did not expect it to be composed of beeps, boops, chimes, ringtones, voices, and everything else that goes on in hospitals, especially ones where surgery was had and people end up in the ICU. I didn't know that hell was going to sound like or look like that, but I have seen it and I dread it. I think I'm just going to drop dead. It seems much easier. But, you know, on that note,
hell is being surrounded by people that are only looking and paying attention to their phones, but you don't have a phone of your own.
That's usually when I have a wallet or a notebook or something like that to get around that. But you are correct. Most it's either that or everybody's looking at the TV screen, if there is one, like zombies, just drawn to it. There's nothing else.
I don't know. I think hell is, you know, it's the place that has no coffee in the morning and, you know, full of people who are far too damn happy at that point in the morning without their coffee. So that or it's, you know, a kid's school program where that you really don't want to be at. It's just purgatory.
Yeah, I think that's more purgatory. I think that's more, yeah. Still not places you want to be.
No, so I guess hell is some horrible hospital waiting room with the coffee machine being broken and no cell service.
They only have decaf.
Matt says heaven and hell are both dinner parties. The only difference is the company.
That's a great quote. Is that yours? I may have to steal this.
I mean, yeah, I think, Matt, if you didn't steal that, it's going to get stolen. I guarantee you that. The reason why I brought up hospitals is my mom was in the hospital again, still is, had emergency surgery, and she's finally out of ICU and into her room as of today. So it's been...
How in the world did she get her intestine perforated?
Wasn't really a perforation. It was.
Oh, okay.
It was blood vessel dying in several places.
Oh, okay.
Which is somehow worse and better at the same time. Anyway, so she is recovering, which means the rest of us can try and recover. William says better to caffeinate in hell than to decaf in heaven from Milton.
Questionable quote, but we'll go ahead and run with it.
Oh, no. The quote's fine. Questionable attribution.
Okay, there you go. Questionable attribution.
It's not John Milton. It's Elmer Milton.
Elmer that's Milton.
Wrong. That's wrong, Milton.
Somewhere there's an ancient literature professor just freaking out right now, rolling over in his grave and the graves of all the pharaohs, something along those lines.
Julius is telling me that he would prefer to be upstairs.
Of course.
So, you
the
know,
red button goes on.
For those of you psychotic and insane enough to play the drinking game, I have a feeling you are going to be checking out early because we've already had like cat butt sitting on the screen for like 2 minutes straight.
Yep. I will not be contributing because there is currently entirely too much teenager room Jenga and renovation going on. All of the cats have decided to hide in the few rooms where no renovation is going on, and they don't want to deal with anybody. Oh, the handsomest. Look at that good boy.
Oh. Sad and pathetic. So you're playing Jenga and mom taxiing. And,
story of my life. Yeah.
And then there's Terry, who hasn't done a damn thing.
I've swapped out two ceiling fans for regular lights. by myself. Well, the cats helped.
I don't believe it.
They don't have thumbs.
Helped.
Oh, helped. The air quote help rather than the actual help.
That's right.
Nice.
So I spent a lot of breakfasts this last weekend with my dad at a Denny's. And every time we were in there, I saw like the same crew sitting around a table around the same time, three older gentlemen. And my brain immediately went into, I wonder what they're talking about. What stories are they swapping? Are these three demons recounting to one another the night's escapades while they drink coffee that's extremely too sweet and eat all the waffles under the universe? Is that what they do? I don't know,
but that's a great story.
I think the X-Files already did it.
I don't care. You can redo it. You can do your own.
But it was Millennium, not the X-Files. I think it was Millennium. Anyway, yes, point taken. Still, it was just one of those moments where my writer brain went, all right, what are they planning a heist? Are they swapping stories? Is there something going on? But every day I saw them together, and it was just one of those moments where just looked at that and you're like, that looks like an interesting future. Sitting around with your best friends and just having a chat while some stupid writer looks in there and goes, I wonder what your past is like, buddy.
Well, then if you're part of that group and you realize that the writer is coming into eavesdrop, then you set something up. So the next day, You mess with them.
Hey, did you see that Veronica Jagger over trying to overhear her saying tomorrow we need to make it a little louder and a little weirder?
So tomorrow, the code word is licorice or something ridiculous. I don't know.
Yeah, you could do some weird things with licorice.
Rope or stick. Or
well, there's the existential question of the day, rope or stick.
Well, you know, we needed to get that out there early right now. Ever watched Dead Like Me? No, I never saw that.
Oh. No, I've heard of it. I have not watched it.
Yeah, was not. I was aware of it tangentially, so to speak. As in, I think it was on the same network as Buffy, but I can't remember. Howdy. Oh, did I even say howdy, folks, and welcome to another episode of the Dead Robot Society? I'm Pauly Cooley. That's Veronica Jagger. And the man below me, who is always below me in stature, is Terry Mixon. And thank you for joining us. And now we have cats and all sorts of other topics are going on that weren't planned because I don't know about these other two. I am exhausted and ready to hit the floor, but that's about normal.
So my wife ordered cat fixtures for the house to put on the walls.
And how is that training of your feline circus going?
Haven't started putting them up yet.
Oh.
The last of them finally arrived yesterday, I think. There are a lot of them.
Luckily, you have a lot of cats.
She may, in fact, have bought more than we could put up in this house.
I'm shocked. I'm shocked, senor.
I don't know. Shocked. I think that's a challenge.
It might be a challenge to figure out where I can get them put up. I don't know. We'll have to see. But may have more than we can actually put up.
So here's my question. My question is, are you going to move that goddamn bookshelf so people can actually see the cat fixtures?
Well, you see, that's not going to help you. Because those bookshelves behind me are going to go away in about 2 weeks and be replaced by Calyx squares from IKEA.
Ah, okay. Never mind then. We'll see how long those hold together.
they'll definitely be better than what I've got.
Yeah, actually, if they're the ones I'm thinking of, then we've got a ton of those and they work great. And we got a ton of books in them.
So they're going to be 2 5x5s behind me. And I'm going to put a 5x5 over in the corner where I have my role-playing stuff. So the cat stuff is mainly going to be on the wall here behind me. And a little bit over here. So not really visible from the camera.
You know, all this talk about renovation and everything else that now has me sitting there thinking, and I think it's just because I'm tired and therefore I'm latching on to stupid stuff. And my dad was talking about something that sounded familiar like Dexter. If you were renovating your house to feature a kill room, how would you furnish the accoutrements? What would be concerns?
Soundproofing is paramount.
Okay, soundproofing.
Cleanliness, or being able to clean it.
Okay, so maybe built-in drains, tile of some sort that's easily washed.
I don't know if you do tile that's easily washed, or if you would set something up where it's easy to put down some kind of plastic that kind of like where you can attach to the wall, almost like like hooks there, okay. And then yoink, and then you can fold and take out.
A nice big door that leads to somewhere that they can't see you loading up, you know, your refuse.
Yeah, you need a rear. You need a rear.
Yeah.
Yeah, by all means, please continue.
No. I was going to say entry after that, but that was not quite the word I was searching for. You need an ingress that is an ingress-egress point that is out of public view.
You also need good ventilation.
Good point.
Lighting is key. You got to be able to see all the blood in its real color.
Well, that kind of depends on
natural
what kind
lighting,
of...
you know. Yeah, that's all fine and good.
Storage,
but you don't want
implements.
Somebody looking in the windows.
You need good storage for your implements.
You need
sterilization. You know, you don't want anything, you know.
Oh, right. You don't want anything to get infected after it's dead. That'd be awful.
Wow. Wow.
You could have that in there with the sterilize for your protection so that the people can read it and go, what?
You would probably want to make sure that any pieces that are in there are not unique and are easily replaceable, so that when you have to replace them, their pieces are easy to find, and also they can't be immediately tracked back as to, there's only one of these and we sold it in this zip code.
So I'm also thinking you need mount points for chairs and furniture that can be bolted down so they can be basically immovable. You probably need manacle points or something along those lines.
Okay, but then you're talking about a room that's going to do double duty.
Well,
you're talking about a disposal room as well as a containment room.
Yeah, but see, the thing is the containment room... And it can double because, you know, while you have the person there that you're preparing, you kind of have to have them immobilized while you're preparing, at least.
That's what the syringes are for.
You and your okay, dad Dexter. Have the oddest conversations.
Clearly, I'm not helping.
No, we didn't have the conversation about it was in reference to something else because he's never even seen Dexter. It was just one of those moments where it went off of my skull. And of course, I'm looking around at all this hospital equipment going, okay. So there is something I do want to talk about. A little anecdote.
Oh, go for that segue. This is going to be good.
So we're in the ER and it's late at night and it's when we first got her there. And Dad says, okay, I gotta go get us some Cokes or something. I'm dying here. This is like 2 a.m. So he goes out of the ER. And he's gone for like 20 minutes. He comes back and he's got this starry, scared, scarred looking countenance on his face. As he hands me a Coke and he says, I got lost. There's a door there. And if you step out of it, the world doesn't make sense anymore. I went, the fuck is wrong with you, man? So I finally need to go torture my lungs and take a pee. So I get up and I walk out. And I go through the door, and suddenly I'm in this short hallway that leads to a long corridor, and it's filled with nothing but broken toys, as in wheelchairs that need to be repaired, beds that are half broken, stuff up against the wall, all this stuff that is there that only staff are supposed to see. But there's like an entire long ass corridor of this stuff. And the place is not well lit. So my horror-minded head was sitting there going, when the fuck is a body just going to line up for one of these broken beds down at the end of the corridor and say hi?
Yeah, that's the, you know, cover shoot for the zombie apocalypse right there.
It gets weirder. So I'm already kind of weirded out. It gets weirder. So I'm like, how the fuck do I get out of this place? And I'm afraid to turn around because there's going to be something behind me. I know it. So I've seen this horror game. I'm just going to keep going forward. So I look up and it's like exit. It points down the hallway. Okay. This hallway goes on for fucking ever. It is endless. So I go and I see an exit sign. Okay, I go to the exit and I turn to go down that short corridor. There's a sign that says, maintenance personnel only. This is not an exit. And it's got a keypad door. Fuck.
So see, they pause and exit.
So I go to the next one, but it's got an exit sign. I go to the next one and it says exit. And it says mechanical personnel only. So I go out of the next one and it's MRI this way. And I went, well, that's new. So I went to the MRI. It took me outside. Because they have a mobile MRI outside because they have no place to put it inside the hospital. So there's like an outside hallway. And fortunately, there was no one there to arrest me when I popped out in this secured area I'm not supposed to be in. So then I finally get out of there, and that's after I start breathing again and realize I'm not being chased by some, you know, FNAF hospital version. I managed to get around and find the ER entrance again. I look in there, and she looks at me. She's like, did you get lost, honey? I was like, you have no idea. If anybody's seen the back rooms, that's what it felt like. That's what it felt like. I was freaking out. I was like, Dad, you were so right. It's just the Twilight Zone. And you try and go back and all the doors look the same. It's just scary.
It reminds me of a story that I heard about a guy that got a job working in a funeral home. Or not a funeral home, a morgue. And co-workers, this guy, convinced him that he needed to go ahead and pull a prank on the owner. The guy that owned whatever it was. And so they went ahead and put him in one of the body drawers and slid him in there. And he's going to, you know, scare the boss when the boss opens it up. And so he's in there for like 5 minutes. It's all quiet. And it's inside. There's no box inside. It's all one big area inside. So it's not like there. And after about 5 minutes, the corpse next to him goes, cold in here, isn't it? He about knocked himself out trying to sit up. It was the boss. The boss had been in there. This was in fact a prank on him as opposed to the prank on the boss.
Ah, such a meta prank. A prank given to a prank. It's a prank mm-hmm. squared. It's a prankety prank. Cold in here, isn't it? He said it in the dead raspy voice. Cold in here, isn't it?
The story didn't say anything about how it was said, but it could have been said in any way, and it would have been just fine.
Oh, my God. I would. First off, you would never catch me in a fucking morgue with the lights off, and you would never catch me in a morgue, probably, period. But you definitely would not catch me in the cold case, okay? No, 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 no. No, no, no. No cold case for me, thank you. No. Mm-mm. I'm not doing that.
There are boundaries.
I'm claustrophobic, and that is not a good time. Plus, I know some of those things are like vacuum sealed and shit. I don't want anyone near that crap. I can think of better ways to spend that evening.
So, you wanted to talk setting.
Well, this all comes back to setting. When I had Outbreak just recently came out, the cover is not a Scott Pond deal. It is a Paul E. Cooley deal. Please ignore it. It sucks. That's why the paperback's not out yet. But it's what I have at the moment. Regardless, it got me thinking about how I described Ben Taub, the hospital where it takes off. So I'm at a different hospital right now up in the Woodlands. And I was looking around at what the ICU looks like, the setups and everything else. And it looks nothing like what I remember from Ben Taub. But I haven't been to Ben Taub in 21 years.
So things would have changed.
Right. This is a brand new hospital. Well, relatively speaking, I think it's only been around 7 or 8 years, maybe 10. So relatively new compared to Ben Taub. It's been around forever. So it just got me thinking about settings change. What you think something looks like now is not a cookie cutter for what it looked like then and vice versa. I just found it really interesting. Like, for instance, all the nurses' stations have windows in on the rooms, so they don't have to move. They have all their consoles and everything set up there. They can just peek in and see. And, of course, all the alarms and all the technology and all the gadgets is ridiculous. I don't know how anybody ever gets sick with all this crap. Anyway, it is amazing. And then, of course, the noise level. I don't remember the noise level being this high. Absolutely bedlam. If you got an aversion to beeps and boops, you would go insane in this place. It's just absolutely nuts.
Well, I can safely say you've never had the challenge of trying to sleep on a maternity ward.
No, and nor do I want to.
No, because depending upon, now though, I mean, I had all three of my kids at the same hospital, and they were redoing that floor and a lot of the policies and procedures around the time my oldest was born.
Right.
And that was a very weird experience. He was in NICU for 10 days. So now he's like, whoa, big chonky child. But it was constantly noisy because babies and parents and siblings. And then, you know, fast forward a couple years when they redid it, there were no longer any shared rooms. There were always, everybody had private rooms because that was better for, you know,
everybody.
The parents' recovery, for keeping, you know, the baby in the room, which is what they always wanted to do. But one of the really weird things that they did was every time a baby was born on the floor, they would play like 8 bars of like the Brahms lullaby, the da 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 da. They would play that. It would be like real cute and soft over. And the first few times, like, oh, that's really nice. That's really sweet.
And then it became really fucking annoying.
But at like 3 in the morning, when all that you really want to try to do is sleep, because your anesthesia has worn off and you just want a little bit of, you know, a little bit of space, a little bit of grace. You're like, oh my gosh, stop having babies. Just give me 4 hours, please. But yeah, everything's beeping. Everybody wants to monitor you. And that's at the lowest level. I mean, ICU.
Oh.
And then you had your like air sealed vacuum Star Trek level room with all those noises.
They finally moved us out of the isolation room, and the nurses were so fucking happy they practically danced that they managed to get us out of that room, because it was hell for everybody involved. But yeah, the isolation room. This is where the coolies go to be held in isolation. You must not let them out of into the hospital. It's horrible. Never do that again. Holy shit. But yeah, it just drove home to me that, like, if I walk into a modern office building now, it's been quite a long time since I've been in a modern office building. Mm-hmm. How would it shape up to what I remember?
Or school.
Oh, God, schools.
I can tell you right now, a lot of the, you know, the common stuff that we had when we were in elementary and middle school or junior high and high school, you probably had what was called an open campus. So people could just walk in. There wasn't necessarily a central point of entry.
Oh.
Or you didn't have to go past, like, you could go into the school without immediately going into the front office. Everything else, you know, wasn't necessarily locked. Now, especially at elementary schools, at least where I am, there is one door that goes in. With the elementary school my kids went to, you actually had to be buzzed in, because they had kind of like a glass paneled like holding area. So with two doors, you walked in the first door, you buzzed. Whichever admin was on duty, they would peek over and they either recognized you as one of the parents, or you had to hold up your ID to the little camera, and then they would buzz you in and you had to go directly into the office. Same thing with my kids' high school. Everything else is locked down. To go anywhere, you have to go straight through the office and talk to the admin. And then they will buzz you through to let you go either out onto the campus or into one of the other offices. You know, whereas I remember my high school, you walked in the front door and you didn't necessarily have to go into the office. I knew how to get, you know, down to where I needed to be without walking past the main office plenty of times.
Yeah,
but that's like if you're writing stuff that's set current day, little things like that.
That's a big deal.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just like having to walk in through medical detectors, metal detectors.
Mm-hmm.
And even like at some places, I'm thinking Halliburton is in specifically for a long time, they would check the underside of your car during the early days. So it was very, very radically different from what I experienced before then. And obviously very radically different from what my father experienced, even at the same buildings by the same companies. Time changes, however, everything.
Mm-hmm.
And it just reminded me that I need to be a little more careful with my settings in the future, or at least think more about how I want to address those kinds of things, so I'm not completely way off. So it was just curious to me because it makes you wonder just how much stuff we're missing that is changing around us. So that, and the things that we only experienced like maybe hopefully once or twice or three times in our lives, you know, what are the differences between 20 years, 20 years and 20 years?
True. But at the same time, if you're writing something that is set, maybe you have a pivotal scene that is set in or around an ICU, a lot of the times when people experience something in that particular setting, there is enough emotion associated with it. They remember everything about, they remember the little details. And so if you go back and read that and you get something wrong, they're like, wait a second, that's not right. Or I don't remember that kind of thing being there. If you're a nitpicky critical reader like I am.
Mm-hmm.
I have to mm-hmm. muzzle my inner critic, which mm-hmm. is a bitch.
Mm-hmm. Don't call a GN tube an IV tube. Bad things will happen. You don't want to hook one up to the other. That's bad news. That's bad things. You don't need to be a horror writer to be, or you really don't have to enjoy horror or even think about horror. When you walk into an ICU, you can see all sorts of things that will be in your nightmares. So, yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
It's been a rough couple weeks. It's been a rough couple months, actually. Started with car wreck. It's ended up with the ICU. But now we're out of the ICU. We might actually be home my first week of May. Could happen.
Woohoo.
Could happen.
Here's we'll hoping.
He's frozen.
Yeah, no shit.
I was about to say, something froze, something didn't freeze. He's frozen again.
He's frozen again, but I sort of hear his voice. Not recently, though.
He's staring at his desk.
Yeah, we'll hope it's his desk he's looking at.
Yeah. I mean, what you could, like, think about the image and caption it. It's like, Paul Cooley has just spilled coffee all over his lap.
Paul Cooley is about to sue himself just like he would have sued McDonald's.
Paul Cooley is finally getting the, you know, secrets of the universe from his feline familiar.
Paul Cooley has discovered that he has feet.
Paul Cooley is lightly cursing us all out if he could hear any of this.
Oh, he's gone.
Paul Cooley has left the chat.
Paul Cooley has left the building.
Evidently, my Wi-Fi died.
Oh. So you didn't just discover you had feet. Good to know.
We were captioning your image of where you were looking down, where you froze, giving our thoughts of what you were doing and saying.
Ah, and what was I doing and saying exactly?
Paul Cooley discovers his own feet.
At least we hope it's just his feet he's discovering.
We hope you were just looking at your feet because you could have been looking at something else, but you might have had to bend over a lot more to make that happen.
Look in the mirror, Bubba. Anyway,
Cooley is two days late for 420.
Look at that.
Paul Cooley has left the chat, man.
Paul froze like this. What in the hell is going on here? God damn it, I'm having a day. Leave me alone. You bad people.
Even his insults, you know, fall flat because he freezes in these really unflattering positions.
Am I still freezing?
No, not right now you're not, but we have hope you'll do it again soon.
We're only 30 minutes in. It's a little early for you to be hoping I'm off the show. I mean, I've been driving the conversation here. You want to drive some? Go for it. I'd be happy.
Careful. He's going to turn this show right around.
I think we already hit a wall. So it don't matter right now. Go ahead, Terry. Let's have you just take us right off. Out Thelma and Louise style. Come out right off that cliff.
I don't have to take us off a cliff. I can actually drag us back to subject. So, Paul, using the weird things that you have seen at this hospital, how would that affect the setting of a horror story that you were going to set in or around a hospital? How would that color it?
Big time. Like, for instance, if I was to rewrite Outbreak, I now know that the sinks have this area beneath them with this miniature toilet, which is for biological waste. I know exactly what M2 would come through. I know how the security stuff works during the daytime. I know where the cameras are, and I know how many there are. I know what heart monitors show. I know what the modern EKG show. I know that you can do, they have a rolling X-ray machine, which they did not have before. They have, they basically roll an X-ray machine in.
No, I know I've had, I've.
I had one during
one of those.
I had one during when I was in the ER, but I didn't really have a chance to pay attention to what it was. So I got to see how that worked and all that, and various other equipment. So it changes things because you got to think about how security would react to a threat. Are they at a level where they're checking everybody's ID when they come inside? Because for a while that was the case at this hospital. I don't know what happened to drive that, but it was like that for a couple weeks. And then it stopped being that way. And also, what floor are you on? This is what's really cool to me. This hospital, one side is ICU, the other one is the family birthing center. And every time I heard a code blue and I heard four of them, I was like, well, is there one being born on the other side at the same time?
Did they have a NICU? So the neonatal ICU?
No, not in this ICU. It was somewhere else. I think it might have been in the family birthing
center.
Well,
no, that would make sense. But I wonder if they had one side that was all ICU and then they had the family birthing center on the other side. I wonder what level of ICU they had.
Yeah, no clue.
Okay, and sorry, brain.
So that was kind of an interesting juxtaposition.
It's interesting, but it still makes sense.
I mean, it makes sense.
I can see the logic behind it.
Oh, yeah. But, I mean, it's a really great hospital. And then also knowing some of the nurses, man, that I get more information I ever need to know about caring for geriatric patients. Holy shit. In so many ways. Those are all things you learn about if you wanted to set any kind of story in a hospital that's going to have any kind of technical detail, or you're going to write a horror story, you can figure out what things are used for and how they could be used incorrectly.
So like, if you're writing an urban fantasy, you could go ahead and have the hospital. And then in the lower levels of the hospital, you could have the hospital for the paranormal. And if somebody died downstairs, they could be mixed in with the bodies upstairs so that no one would know.
Code black. Code black.
I think I've read that story.
Ah, I'm not surprised. It seems like
at least a setup like that. There are, I can think of a handful of really steamy vampire-esque urban fantasy stories that have settings like that.
I still need to write my dentist story.
He becomes Little Shop says what?
He becomes a dentist to fix up the paranormal creatures running around and et cetera. But his first patient is a woman with vagina dentata.
Oh.
And things get weirder from there. I just haven't figured out how to write it yet.
A werewolf. Nothing but teeth.
Well, that's the other thing, right? It's like, what happens when, and surely they get cavities and shit like that. I mean, what happens? Who takes care of that stuff? Yeah, healers and necromancers are just a matter of timing. I love that.
Yep. So
that's
true.
A good way to look at it. Oh, that's a good way to look at it.
Well, timing or proficiency.
Hmm.
A terrible healer could be a wonderful necromancer.
Oh, that's a good point. That's a really good point.
I failed med school. Yeah, but the mages circle thought I was awesome.
So is the reverse true? The terrible necromancer might become a world-class surgeon?
World-class mortician, maybe. But I see your point. I see your point. Ooh, that'd be difficult to explain. Well, yeah, maybe.
He's got the green thumb, so he just can't get them to die. They just keep coming back to life.
But necromancers don't necessarily kill. They raise the dead.
But
maybe
the dead
he raises
get necrotic
the dead in the
after
wrong
a while.
Way. Maybe he's not animating the dead. Maybe he's actually returning life to the dead. And that makes him a bad necromancer.
Oh, that'd be a terrible necromancer. Oh, okay. Yeah, I get that. Yeah.
I'm not so sure about this. This all sounds like a very, very bad idea.
Which means someone will write it.
Someone should write it. If they haven't already, they really should.
Yep.
I like the belly of the basement, though. I mean, if you were some kind of creature that... I think it was an X-Files episode where there was an EMT who had cancer. Well, he was made of cancer. And so part of his deal was to find patients who had cancer and were terminal and basically eat their cancer. So it's pretty freaking disgusting, but he worked in that job so that he could find quote unquote victims.
Huh. Here's a story for you.
Oh God.
You've got the hospital. You've got the supernatural hospital that's underneath it. Mm-hmm. You know, so you got the people upstairs, you know, that are talking about, you know, the strange goings on and whatnot, you know, things that are happening. But down in the supernatural hospital, you start getting them talking about strange goings on and wondering if there's something else underneath them.
When the monsters are scared, it's time to get the fuck out of Dodge. It's one thing I learned from Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Huh.
He's thinking. This
I
can't
am. Great. Yeah, I'll have to jot that down for later. Although,
when the things that go bump in the night are afraid, so
we
should
bump
you.
Back. Yeah. Yeah.
The other thought was with the creating the various rooms and spaces. What if you had like a contractor company that only worked for supernatural beings? So maybe they're adept at like, you know, creating the blackout rooms for vampires. So
supernatural and serial killer. Well, all your specialty gruesome needs.
See over here, we're going to go ahead and dig this out a little bit so it slopes down and we can put in some extra dirt from your holy ground. So you can just lay right on in there. And you don't have to worry about that there, son. You're going to cover you up, bud. You're going to be great. And you don't have to worry about your clothes. There's no worms. We promise no worms. It's in writing right there in the contract.
But what this interest needs here is more mud. Got to have more mud for that moat. Got to have that. We need more mud.
Those stakes aren't going to stick upright if you don't have enough mud in the bottom. Got to mix that clay in there. And once you get that done, you can have yourself a world-class moat.
Anyone down there? No, it's perfectly safe. Come on down. Who said that? Nope, wasn't me. Yeah, like that.
I do not need more ideas. Thank you very much.
You know, that's Veronica. Always the problem talking with this jackass. If you get him started.
I know.
It just keeps going. We still need to do a brainstorming episode at some point.
We do.
Now that we've got... Veronica here to temper things, make sure we go even further out into outer space.
I believe that you misunderstand her purpose in joining this podcast. It is not to rein us in. No, no, no.
But that doesn't mean I'm not going to give her all sorts of static about it because it annoys her.
Oh, it doesn't annoy me at all. I'd love to feel needed.
Well, let's define needed here.
You know, why isn't there any supernatural hockey team stories? Why is there none of those?
Yeah, V.
I don't know. There could be. Most of them are just like hockey romance.
Hockey romance?
Supernatural hockey romance.
I think that's too many tropes, but I'll ask somebody.
Can you actually have too many tropes?
You know what? That is a great topic for a future episode.
Got 20 minutes.
Well, no, but like what tropes could you conceivably combine and make work? And what don't work? Like, you could have military, supernatural, science fiction. But, you know, so like military, vampire, sci-fi. Totally can work. But could you have military, vampire, space science fiction? At what point does it get to be too much?
You could do it, but the problem is every time you split like that, you're going to narrow your audience.
Well, it's either you narrow your, but are you, and that's the thing, are you narrowing or are you Venn diagramming?
I can guarantee you if you add vampires into your military science fiction, you're probably going to lose a good chunk of the standard military science fiction readers.
Ah, who the hell wants them? They don't buy books.
Yeah, that's totally not what they do.
He's like,
That's what you need. You need to go ahead and write a vampire romance where he's an author. But they keep trying to get him to do book signings, so he has to find ways to keep dodging it.
Are vampires better in space? Do they need spacesuits? Do they need to breathe? I would think they need spacesuits just for temperature gradients because you don't want to freeze.
Yeah, there's no spoilers. I will just say that I finished watching Picard and it lit up all of the happy buttons in my brain and answered a couple of these very interesting questions. Yeah.
Okay.
This is, you know, only my opinion, but if you want a very good example of how to do fan service right and bring up all these little find bits and pieces where it's like, oh, if they're gonna mention this, they have to bring this back, and 2 minutes later that shows up, you're like, oh yes, that showed, yes, you have, yeah. So
V's a fan of callbacks.
I'm a fan of good callbacks, and yes, Matt, I will stop. It is worth it. It is so good. And if I didn't love Jeri Ryan as an actress so hard from from Voyager, this whole bit of Picard, oh my gosh, you know, she's such a good actress.
They were talking about having potentially someone revealed as the current commander of the Enterprise or some such not like that, and some of the talk on the internet was they should get the ensign from Voyager that never got a promotion and make him the captain.
Paris?
No, he was a lieutenant.
No.
It was the Asian man. I can't remember what his name was now off the top of my head.
Garrett Wang's character. Yeah.
I can't remember the character's name.
I know. So, I'm trying to think.
But they were saying he never got the promotion he deserved. He was always an ensign. They should have just made him the captain of the show. Yes, I got that promotion finally. Harry Kim.
Yes.
Matt posted in there. Harry Kim.
Yes.
I'm guessing only people who know all the lore are going to get that one.
He's actually really, really involved in the various sci-fi and Star Trek fandom tracks with DragonCon last I checked.
Hmm.
So, but yeah.
Fan service. Who needs fan service?
Is that like cat service?
Pollux needs fan service.
For those not watching right now, Terry is currently being mauled. Yes. She's not being mauled. There's a cat sitting upon him in a rather curious position who looks like he might maul Terry.
He's
eventually.
Not. Pollux has decided that he's okay with now being held slightly, and so I want to encourage him when he wants to climb on for his love.
Mm-hmm.
Fair enough.
Brother still doesn't want to be picked up, but he has discovered that it's okay.
He has discovered the secret of the pets.
So I want to admit to a massive boner. That was the wrong word to use. A massive faux pas.
Okay.
Let's put it that way. I was reading Neptune Scars and thinking about things and came across a line that says they whatever they do, they might even break the speed of light. And then I thought for a moment and I went, wait a minute. Didn't I already do that? I had to go back and went,
I'm pretty sure that's
numbers.
What Warp is, but
No, I'm talking about my book, not Star Trek. Star Trek.
Okay.
My book.
But you already broke that.
Yeah, kind of, and kind of had to for certain reasons, and what we never discussed that. How can the humans be cool with this? So I had to go back and put in a whole bunch of explanation about, this kind of thing needs to be addressed. It's just one of those fundamental things where beta readers or alpha readers would have gone, hey, wait a minute. So I caught that and was like, yeah, that was kind of stupid. That goes even further than Terry misnaming characters and planets. That goes even further than that. So I had to put that in there.
I've moved on to misgendering spaceships. I actually haven't, but, you know, that sounded funny, so I thought I'd say it.
Oh, good God. Matt says, on the subject of fan service, last con I went to, which had been repeatedly delayed and put off, had nobody I knew of at all. But I got to meet the guy who played Thing in Wednesday, a close-up magician and guitarist. Got it. Interesting. I haven't been to a con in a long time, obviously. Last time I went was Balticon. So, actually, that's not true. I went to a horror con that was here in Houston a couple of years ago. I guess it was last year. This was last year. And I really didn't know anybody there except for, you know, stars from this splatterpunk or, you know, this horror movie or whatnot. But there were some indie filmmakers there making some really cool stuff. So that's always, I think that's the neatest part of going to the cons that are heavily focused on film and TV or the indie creators that are there. Literary cons, kind of hit and miss what you're going to get as far as like the audience. Whereas, you know, indie versus hybrid versus traditional, it's an interesting mix, and you never know what you're going to get out of that.
To hijack part of this, there was a survey put out by the Alliance for Independent Authors. I think it was Allie. Mm-hmm. And they had what the earnings were for independent writers. And when you compared that to a different survey that was done for traditional writers, indies are making more money off writing now than traditional writers are.
I am not surprised.
That's kind of scary.
It's because the traditional publishing industry has been strangling the money going to the traditional authors. They have been for a very long time, and it's gotten worse.
Well, it's especially gotten worse because COVID made them quote unquote, fuck their schedules completely. So things are like 2 or 3 years out. And then when that merger didn't go through, they're using that as an excuse to further push shit while they continue to cut costs of the people who actually do the work as opposed to, you know, whatever.
I think it's going to speed up traditional published authors or people that might be traditionally published if they pushed it to looking at other avenues rather than traditional. They are busy choking out their future.
I think some of it, but it's also, they also have a learning curve.
Yes, because it's a huge learning curve.
Because if you've got someone who has been doing traditional publishing for decades, they may not have
They need to go with a small press.
It's going with a small press, but it's also they may not have the bandwidth for all of the self-management.
Yeah.
And the just the sheer business management pieces.
I'm not talking about them. I think the ones that are already established traditional authors are going to stay that way. I'm saying the people that might have become their replacements are now saying independent author. I can learn stuff now. So some of them being converted into being indie published writers rather than going the traditional route. And that's going to starve off traditional publishing's future writers.
Hopefully. We've heard this song and dance before, but I think there's only so many straws, right, before the proverbial camel's back breaks. And they just keep fucking adding them. And if Amazon itself doesn't start adjusting things a little bit, they're also going to have some issues.
What are you thinking they should adjust?
Well, as you pointed out and several other people pointed out, inflation is really eating into the KDP fund. So it's something that they need to address. And then, of course, I know they aren't, not unless forced. But also the whole monopoly shit with ACX, the whole mess with Kindle Unlimited and, you know, having to be Kindle exclusive, all that kind of stuff. Eventually, it's all going to hit a wall. Until then, though, I got to do what I got to do to make cash and hope that that wall comes sooner than later, personally.
And this is how we get back to the shape-shifting strippers on corners selling themselves to make a buck.
Wow. You're reaching.
A little bit of a stretch? Okay.
You're reaching. Alien hookers.
Alien changeling hookers.
Alien changeling hookers.
You could get a lot of money that way because they could be literally anything you want.
So they'd be genderless too. Genderless and genderful. Can you actually have a gender if you can constantly switch it?
They can mimic a gender.
I'm thinking you're doing more than a little mimicking when you're transferring body parts, but I could be wrong. And what's the process of an innie becoming an outie? I'm just asking because it seems like it'd be painful. I'm just saying.
There's probably much more of a discussion to be had on
going outie innie.
Well, if you're looking at, you know, what constitutes gender expression and that. That's probably a more involved discussion than any of us are really prepared for. Multipath. Oh,
I wondered how you were going to try and get yourself out of this because you started digging a hole and slowly got
Y'all started digging the hole. I'm like, how do I very politely try to sidestep this? Because damn.
Yeah, I know. There's a third rail there somewhere.
There's a third rail and y'all have the wires. You're like, look what I can do.
Look, if I hold the light bulb in my mouth and I do these with the wires. Like,
Yeah.
Well, you know, if you don't tread near the third rail, what are you going to do? You get boring. The cyberpunk genre will never be the same.
I pasted a link in the live channel on Discord. Somebody posted something they could check to see if something was generated by an AI or a human or a mixture thereof. I ran it with one of my chapters that I recently wrote and was 3.02% AI, potentially AI, so rated as human written.
Rated as human written.
So that means you're only 98 point something human and you're 3 point something AI?
Could be.
Ah, you know, it's when the AI starts telling you that you're an AI that we have a problem. No, you're an AI.
No, you click the bridge. No, you clicked all the bridges. No, you click all the lights.
attitude. That's exactly what we need in our artificial intelligence.
Sarcasm. Sarcasm, GPT. Snark GPT. There we go.
Snark GPT. Where is Snark GPT?
Somebody I just remember that URL right now.
The Friendly Robotics Corporation in the Hitchhiker's Guide universe, where all the automatons and everything else were just basically like the most exuberant Walmart greeters you've ever met. Extremely helpful and very happy to say, "Hi, how you doing? What can I do for you? We're dying. Oh man, that's terrible. Let me get you a syringe of medicine. Hope this doesn't hurt." You know, just kind of shit like that.
Why do I see the taxi guy from Total Recall with Arnold Schwarzenegger?
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. You're in a Johnny Cab.
The Johnny Cab. That's right.
Signs Paul.
Johnny Med. Welcome to Johnny Med. What's wrong with you today?
Oh, my God. Exactly. I mean, is that really what it's going to come down to? Does the suicide booth have like really interesting, inspirational voices to tell you to wish you off on your final farewell? I mean, how does that work?
Let me sing you a happy lullaby while we lull you to sleep before you die.
While the CO2 fills up and you start to lose consciousness, just remember that life is just a dream.
Are there any artists you absolutely hate? And it starts playing them. Oh, really? Oh, really?
I think you need to go to hell with a polka.
Right side of
my God.
I love you. You love me.
God, no.
I'm going to commit suicide. Anyway, yeah. Matt says, after training AIs, they do get snarky with you. Had a product prediction algorithm. Condition don't suggest things people don't want. Result, it suggested nothing. It's a good condition to have. Bad for marketing, though. Bad for marketing. You're supposed to sell shit people don't need. That's how that works. That's how you make $1 bazillion. That's what I hear.
That's what you hear.
That's what I hear, but I'm deaf, so what really does it matter? Well, we've been at this for 57 minutes and 25 seconds. We have wasted so much of everyone's time. So the question is it time to wrap this noise up? Probably is. Well, if you want to electrocute us for starting near the third rail, although we were very, very respectful, trying to be, please send an email to show@debrobotsociety.com. You can find me at paul_e_cooley at vyrse.social. You can find us on Facebook, the listeners of the Dead Robot Society Facebook group, or Terry Wrangles All the Madness. If you want to find us on YouTube to see us, I lost my train of thought. I did. If you want to see Terry's cats, V's cats, and me, you can go to youtube.com/DRS podcast and find us there. Click and subscribe so you always know when we are live and to see other videos that are posted. And if you want to support the show, you can find us at patreon.com/DRS podcast and buymeacoffee.com/DRS podcast, where for as little as $1 a month, you get exclusive access to shows like DRS After Dark, which is coming up in 11 minutes and 20 seconds. Those patrons already have the links and they're ready to rock. So, you know, that's the way it goes. And at $10 level, you get your name read. And our $10 patrons are Tony L. Joy, Rick Shaw, Lisa Slack, Isabel Cushy, and Tim Niederreiter. Thank you to all of our patrons for making this show possible and paying some bills like Libsyn and et cetera. And with that, we have one more thing we have to take care of, which is we refuse to go to a 12-step program because we know we'd fail because we are caffeine junkies and we get our caffeine from CorpseCoffee.com. Visit CorpseCoffee.com, check out their array of coffees, boutique teas, and their wonderfully weird webcomic, and tell them DRS sent ya. Visit CorpseCoffee.com and tell them, my God, I fucked it up. Visit CorpseCoffee.com. Visit CorpseCoffee.com and get the dead in your cup. There we go. God, I can't believe I blew that. Suck. How the hell did that work? Jeez. I just, yeah. I, Sorry, not on my best. Anyway, with that, I think we probably should get the hell out of here.
Probably.
And yeah.
See you other folks in about 10 minutes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, about 10 minutes. Time for a bio break and you know, for me to, I don't know, find my brain. Anyway, thanks for hanging out with us, and we'll see you next week.
Later. Bye.